بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ما بعد، اليوم 19 من شهر ربيع الثاني 1446 الموافق ل 22 من شهر أكتوبر 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في أعلي. So, بإذن الله عز وجل، today we will be dealing with a new chapter which is about تحريم لباس الحرير على الرجال وتحريم جلوسهم عليه واستعمالهم واستنادهم إليه وجواز لبسه للنساء. So this is a chapter that will talk about the impermissibility of wearing الحرير, the silk, the natural one, not the artificial one, the natural one. The one that is taken from Dudat al-Qaz. Very amazing. Some of our scholars mention that it's one of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation of animals is this animal. This is a worm, actually. But people take from the skin. So it takes out of the skin. So we keep reducing. If it continues like this, there will be a time where there is no harir. That is harir. People will take from that thing which is coming out. And subhanAllah, is one of the precious fabric. Very soft, very nice. And that's the reason why brothers are restricted from using it. Because too fancy. You know, it fits the sisters but not the brothers. So he said, if it continues like this, a day will come, it will finish completely, it will die. Because it's part of it, going. We keep on reducing the size, reducing. Until it reaches a certain level, you know, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn it into another creature, a butterfly. You go and meet another butterfly, and they produce Dudat al-Qaz again. Subhanallah. I am in ayatullahi azza wa jal. That's why everything you touch in the makhluqat Allah Azza wa Jal, there is ayah that you benefit from. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, fill this life of ours with so many things which are enough to guide us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and the only one who is deserved to be worshipped. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. He was talking about the falcon. He said, you see, when it comes down, naturally people hate it. Naturally, when it comes down, the kids will go and throw a stone on it. But Allah created it, and Allah prescribed for it a life. Allah wants it to survive, to live. So how can he survive? His food is usually on the ground. It comes down, people will throw a stone on him. People will stone it, and he will die. He said, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this bird a very strong eyes. The Arab in the past, when they described the eyes of somebody who were very strong, they said, لَهُ بَصَرٌ حَدٌ كَالصَّقْرٌ. It's a very strong eyes, just like the falcon. Because this bird, from far distance up there, it could detect, you know, it can detect the food, you know, it's tiny small things, but it can see from up there. So it needs this so that it can determine the place properly. Because when it comes down, it cannot waste the time because people will chase it away. So it just needs to come all the way from up, down, and just pick it up and run away. Rabbul Alameen. He created something. Allah said he is responsible to provide for them. And subhanAllah, he did provide for us whatever we need. Whatever we need, Allah, we don't need anything. If we manage it correctly, we don't need anything. That's why there is no scarcity in this life. Although the economists talk about the scarcity, right? There is no scarcity realistically when it comes to the need. Because wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a people, He provide them with that which is enough for them. This is Rabbul Alameen. All they have to do is to remove the greed, injustice, unfairness, zulm. Let people, you know, walk by themselves. Provide conducive environment for the people, and you will see everyone will be, you know, sufficed with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in the place where He is located. But you have zulm, you have injustice, you have greed. Yeah. That's why we end up being in need of other nations to come and support us, unfortunately, who used to depend on us. Ewallah, we need to really revisit this way of thinking. Yeah. Every place where you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the people and put them in that place, they do have enough, you know, to, you know, help them to live a very good life. If you remove all of the other injustices. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for us more than what we need. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in that beautiful hadith, he said, Yadullahi mal'a. Please do listen to this, so that your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be at the increase. A Muslim doesn't know anything called losing hope. And now, Muslim shouldn't lose hope at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him, he said, Yadullahi mal'a. He said, the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full. Subhanallah. Always full. Always. And it's not like you tell a person, first come, first serve. We have limited provision. No, that's with human beings. Not with Rabbul Alameen. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His hands are always full. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Saha'ul layl wa nahar. He's the most generous in the day and the most generous at night. He gives with no restriction. He says, Mal'a la yaghidhuha nafaqatu. There is no way for nafaqah, spending, to decrease that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Yani, as a Muslim, when I hear this, Allah, hope increases you. You don't have limitation. You just go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you need, just go. When you come to me, when I go to you, you go to him, you go to her, you know, we think a lot. Are they going to accept? Are they going to listen? Maybe they will reject me, The only place where you will not be rejected is Babullah Azza wa Jal. No rejection. As long as you qualify. And to qualify, He did not demand from you anything big. He just asked you to be good, which is benefiting you. Just be good. And then come at any time you want. That's why the poet says, لَا تَسْأَلَنَّ بُنَيَّ آدَمَ حَاجَةً. Don't you ever ask Ibn Adam any need. Don't ask anyone. He said, وَسَلِ الَّذِي أَبْوَابُهُ لَتُحْجَمُ. Always ask the one that his doors are always open. Always open. Always open. He says, Allah, who is that one? Rabbul Alameen. He says, Allahu يَغْضَبُ إِنْ تَرَكْتَ سُؤَالَهُ. Allah gets angry if you stop asking him. وَبُنَيُّ آدَمَ حِينَ يُسْأَلُ يَغْضَبُ. And human beings, when you ask them, they get angry with you. The more you ask, the more they detach themselves from you. Allah, a very good system for a Muslim to realize this, that you have Rabbul Alameen who is always waiting for you to say, I want. And with no restriction. You know, sometimes you find some people, they don't ask unless if it is about something that they believe in. Something that they believe it is big. There are some things which they categorize to be minor things. No. I don't need to ask Allah for this. Even this little one, that's a very wrong thinking. You Allah. You might be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you ask about tiny, tiny things. You know what does that mean? Because it means you are telling Rabbul Alameen that you cannot live without His support. Even with these things which are considered as tiny things, if He doesn't support you, you can't get them. And wallahi, it is true. Anything you see in this dunya, if Allah doesn't want you to get it, wallahi, you will never get it. No matter how much small it is. You can't. And there is nobody who can provide it for you. That's why one of the Salaf Salih, he saw a brother praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most likely like our prayers. He quickly finished the prayer. So he called him. He said, my dear brother, he said, what happened? You finished the prayer very quickly. He said, don't you have any need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah, because in the prayer, this is the biggest chance you have. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he says, the closest moment you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you pray, especially when you are in this state of sujood. That's why he said, أَمَّا الرُّكُوعُ فَعَظِّمُوا فِيهِ الرَّبَّ. He said, as for the ruku', he says, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّ الْعَظِيمِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّ الْعَظِيمِ. He said, as for the sujood, فَاجْتَهِدُ فِي الدُّعَى. He said, exhaust your effort to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything you need. He said, فَقَمِنٌ أَنْ يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. He said, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen to your dua. It doesn't work with the kind of prayers we are doing now. Of course, if you are the imam, you have to be moderate. But if you are praying alone, enjoy your relaxation, especially when you are at home praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you need. And don't worry about the acceptance of the ijabah. As long as Allah guided you to ask, bi-ithnillahi azza wa jalla, the ijabah will come. So he told that brother, he said, you see, if I have no salt at home, you know the salt, right? Milk. He said, if I lost that at home, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sujood to provide me with this. SubhanAllah. Somebody might say, come on, salt just gone by, 2 ringgit, 3 ringgit, you know. In this life of ours, there are some people who cannot afford buying this. Iwallah. And in this life of ours, there are some people who can buy it, but they cannot use it. True? There are some people who can't eat salt. Doctors told them, if you want to live, you cannot eat salt. You have to stay away from it. So food is just like medicine to them. They're just eating to live. Ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He granted you all of these opportunities which other people don't have. So my dear brothers and sisters, understand this hadith correctly. The Prophet said, Yadullahi mal'a la yaghidhuha nafaqatun. No matter how much he spent, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has will never decrease. So don't worry, just go and ask. He says, انظر إليه كم أنفق منذ خلق السماوات والأرض. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and think and calculate and see if you can have the right estimate of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spent to keep this life intact. How much you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spent to keep this life intact? Go and ask any country leader, the parliament, whoever is involved in building the country, how much the government spent from day one to see the country the way it is. Don't go far. Go to the management in UAE if they can have the data. From the time UAE was established up to this moment, how much it was spent. You hear numbers which you might not, alhamdulillah, never expect them. Imagine Allah SWT is taking care of every single thing that exists. Every single thing. Things that you know and those which you don't know. Every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, human beings, jinns, insects and everything, is going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in need. Day and night. 24/7, non-stop. That's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep, and it is inappropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sleep. SubhanAllah. Because sleeping is a result of weariness and physical weaknesses, which none of them can come closer to Rabbul Alameen. He created the heavens and the earth. قَالَ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبِ. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ. Just go and think about the creation and how much Allah SWT is taking care of, you know, every single creation. Then you will understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest, the most powerful, the strongest, the most powerful, the one who cannot be affected by any form of weaknesses. That's Rabbul Alameen. He says, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنِ. Allah Akbar. He says, the people in the heavens and those on earth and those in between and wherever the creation exists, they are always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about their need. He said, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنِ. Every single second Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing something. This one is looking for help. This one is looking for support. This one is looking for health. This one is looking for food. This one is looking for this and that. Everyone is having different, you know, needs, but Allah is providing for every single one of us, non-stop. I'm saying this to every one of you so that you will not lose hope. Wallahi, be happy you're Muslim. Maintain your Islam. Preserve your identity. Be good Muslim. Always raise up your hand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never lose either light. The righteous people, when they talk about their stories, never get disappointed. And this is Rabbul Alameen. You will never ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you qualify that asking and get disappointed. Never. Ya Allah, never. You never raise up your hand and say, Ya Allah, give me this without getting what you want or that which is better than it. Yeah, because sometimes Allah deprives you from that which you are asking for. Why is He depriving you? Because Allah knows this is not good for you. And you don't know. How many times you insist to get something and you got it. And then you come and cry. You wish you did not get it. So it's part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whenever we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of our dedication, righteousness, good attitude and behavior, Allah knows that this is bad for us. He will deprive you from getting it. He will deprive you from getting it. So sometimes He will delay it and give you at the better time. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you on the spot. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it with something else. Kafara from the dhunub, which is greater than you getting those things. In the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will never raise up your hand and bring them down empty. You will come down with something. As long as you don't do istijal. Istijal means to say, I have been asking every day, but I don't see any response until now. Then Allah will leave you with your behavior. You might not get anything. Allah wants you to be patient. Because you don't know, Allah knows. So you might be asking for something, but Allah knows it's not good for you, so He refuses to hear. That's the reason why you should have an ultimate trust, complete trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let Him choose for you. Because He knows that which is good for you and you don't know that. So this is Al-Harir. And we got it from Durat Al-Qaz. And we're talking about the natural one, not the artificial Harir. So Imam Nawawi, you know, provided this topic to talk about this matter, whether it is halal for the brothers to wear the silk or it is not halal. And also, is it halal for them to sit on the silk or it is not halal for them to sit on it? And also, is it halal for them to lean on a silk or it is not halal for them to lean on it? And also, is it halal for the sisters to use it or is not? So he said this topic will talk about the impermissibility of all of these for the brothers, but halal for the sisters. So inshallah, we go through the hadith mentioned by the Mu'allif, one after the other. قال وعن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تلبسوا الحرير فإن من لبسه في الدنيا لم يلبسه في الآخرة. سبحان الله. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith of Umar رضي الله عنه, do not wear the silk, because if you wear the silk, you will not be given ability, an opportunity to wear it in the Akhirah, in the hereafter. Because whatever you see in this dunya, you know, you have better choice in Jannah. You have silk in Jannah, but the real one, made in Jannah. What you have is made in dunya, but that one is Jannah made. sick. So you can imagine how beautiful is that silk. And you can imagine how much bad is the situation of a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived from using that silk. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you wear the silk in this dunya, you will not wear it in the akhirah. Do we understand prohibition from this? Yes. Because if it is halal, why can't you get it in the akhirah? وعن عمر رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما يلبس الحرير من لا خلاق له وفي رواية للبخاري من لا خلاق له في الآخرة. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in another hadith, he said the only one who wears the silk is somebody who doesn't have any portion in the akhirah, meaning the losers. The one who will not have any respect and will not have reward and no portion for him in the akhirah. So it's a matter of choice. A person to choose the right thing or to choose the wrong one. When I say matter of choice, I don't mean that you go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning it is up to you to choose. To obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to obey, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it mandatory upon you to listen. And this goes to any command from Rabbul Alameen. He gave us free will to choose what we want to do. So that nobody will come and say, Allah is forcing me. And he wants to see who will listen and who will not. That's why the Prophet ﷺ was told by Allah, قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah said, whoever wants to take, let him take. Whoever doesn't want, let him go against. But we prepared for them a place which fits them. So in this dunya, as a Muslim, you're supposed to stay away from the silk except that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permitted. قال وفي رواية للبخاري من لا خلاق له في الآخرة قوله من لا خلاق له أي لا نصيب له. The one who doesn't have any portion in the hereafter when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وانا انس قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من لبس الحرير في الدنيا لم يلبسه في الاخره. In another narration also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said whoever wears the harir, the silk in this dunya, لم يلبسه في الاخره, will not be given ability and chance to wear it in the akhirah. وانا علي قال رايت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اخذ الحرير أخذ الخرير فجعله في يمينه وأخذ قال وذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي. He said, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taking الحرير فجعله في يمينه. He took the silk and he put it on his right hand. وَذَهَبًا, and he took ذَهَب. What is ذَهَب? Gold. And he put it on the left side. ثُمَّ قَالَ إِنَّ هَذَيْنِ حَرَامٌ فِي عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِ. And he said, these two things, they are impermissible upon the male in my ummah. That means it's haram for a Muslim brother to wear harir or to wear, what is the other one? The gold. Any form of gold. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أُنَاسٌ يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْحِرَى وَالْحَرِيرِ وَالْخَمْرَى وَالْمَعَازِفِ. He said, there will be, this is a hadith of Hisham bin Ammar in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, there will be a people on the day of judgment who will be making halal, you know, that which is haram, we're making four things halal. Number one, he says al-hira, that's the farj, kina al-farj, akramakum Allah. The awra, that means zina, it will make zina halal. Wal-harir, and the wearing of the silk for the brothers halal. Wal-khamra, and the drinking of wine halal. Wal-ma'azif, and the use of the musical instrument halal. You know, he says khamr, in some narration, he says they will be making khamr halal, yusammunaha bighayri ismiha, they will change the name. That's why in some countries, when they say, come, let's go and drink, doesn't mean go and drink water or another juice, they're talking about wine. In some countries, a'udhu billah, they call it al-mashroobat al-ruhiyya. I don't know which ruh are they talking about. Mashroob, spiritual drinks. A'udhu billah. So that's exactly what the Prophet said. We end up in the future making haram halal, but we call it different name. Riba now is not called riba, it's called profit. We don't call it riba, we call it profit. This is all part of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So wearing of the silk, committing zina, and all of these mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very, very, very big issue in Islam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said some of these people, this is part of the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change them. يَمْسَخُ آخَرِينَ قِرَدَةً وَخَنَزِيرٌ وَلِيَعُذُ بِاللَّهِ. He will convert some of them into qirada and khanazir. Qirada means monkeys. وَالْخَنَزِيرُ and pigs. Subhanallah. So that's why as a Muslim, sabr, 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 you know, you are not meant to stay here and enjoy life. You are here for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have never created human beings and jinns except for the purpose of worship. The main purpose of our creation is to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Him. Therefore, the scholars said, since this is the maqsood of the Sharia, whatever contradict this maqsad, a Muslim is supposed to stay away from it. There is no second thought. When you have your interest and Sharia's interest should always be given the preference, not our interest. And now, without deen, our life will never be okay. Iwallah, you cannot have classes like this. You cannot go out of your house peacefully. You cannot live a comfortable life. Deen is the one that brought us like this. Without deen, nobody will have a comfortable life. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call it life. He says, "Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum." Always respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever he invites you to that which is making you alive. Wa kadhalika awhayna ilayka ruhan min amrina ma kunta tadri mal kitabu lil iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Quran, the wahy, the sunnah, he called it ruh. What is ruh? The soul. Without soul there is no life. That's why I really advise you to put deen first. And whatever you're doing, ask first, what does Allah want me to do concerning this matter? We always talk about muraqabatullah, right? Muraqabatullah. The khatib every Friday tell us what? Ittaqullah. Every Friday, ittaqullah. You know, there's many scholars actually put this as a condition in the khutbah that you have to mention ittaqullah. You have to advise people to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, almost every Friday, his khutbah is based on Surah Qaf. You know Surah Qaf, right? It's talking about how to drink tea, how to... No, it doesn't. It is talking about life and death and accountability when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put next to you who are not missing a single thing you're doing in this life to always keep you in touch. Allah, this is our religion. Allah doesn't want you to get into trouble. Otherwise, why is Allah inviting you every day? How many times? 5 times. There are some people, they have their own justification and their own deen. They only come to what they believe to be true. We don't believe in that, but they only approach that once in a week or once in a month. But for us, Islam, this is the only true religion. Allah invites you to the masjid every day 5 times. Why is it 5 times? To do the tajaddud of the iman. Because when you left the masjid after Fajr, you might forgot your responsibility. You need to be reminded. Allah will bring you dhuhr time. When you leave the masjid, you go and engage in other things. You need to be reminded that Allah is watching you. Allah will bring you asr time. There we go, until the time, by the time you finish Isha prayer, you go and sleep. That was the life before. Nowadays, after Isha also, we open another life, giving angels more job. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq, and ability to stick to the religion, to preserve our true identity, which is the Islamic identity, until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Inshallah, I will emphasize on this hadith more on the next in the next class. بإذن الله عز وجل. بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.